the California State Library. And when the state of California was formed, one of the first things it did was to establish a state library, building on gifts of books from Colonel Jonathan Drake Stevenson and Senator John Charles Fremont. For California properly to govern itself, these frontier founders knew it would need information. It would need a great state library. Soon, agents of the state library were ransacking the bookstores of the Atlantic states in Europe on behalf of the state library of the newly formed California Commonwealth, mining a treasure trove of richly illustrated manuscripts and significant text. Throughout the cities of California, libraries were everywhere, in Stockton, in Sacramento, in Marysville, in Yuba City, in San Francisco. There were even lending libraries in hotels. The What Cheer House, for example, maintained an extensive collection for its patrons. Founded in 1855, the Mechanics Institute of San Francisco maintained a large lending library on behalf of working people anxious to continue their education. The African American community of San Francisco maintained its own library collection in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. At the same time, academic libraries were being formed in the newly established institutions of higher education, Santa Clara College and the University of the Pacific in 1851, St. Ignatius College in San Francisco in 1855, the College of California, later the University of California, in Oakland in 1861. Here were the frontier beginnings, the DNA code of the network of academic and research libraries that would emerge in the 20th century. Into these research libraries would come eventually the great private collections that were also being formed as California made the transition from a raw frontier to a polished Pacific province. Herbert Howe Bancroft, for example, collected some 16,000 scholarly volumes relating to the history of California and the Pacific states. From the Bancroft collection, there emerged well-researched histories of Native American civilizations, of California, Oregon, Central America, and Mexico, and eventually all of the Pacific states. A German-Jewish immigrant by the name of Adolf Sutro, meanwhile, flush with funds from the Comstock Lode, was beginning to assemble what was, by the 1890s, the finest private collection in the United States, the Sutro Library. More than 250,000 volumes, including precious incunabula and one of the most distinguished collections of Hebraica in the New World. Adolf Sutro knew that a flourishing city needed good government, so he became the mayor of San Francisco. He knew that a flourishing city needed recreation, so he built a great bathhouse and gallery resort on the cliffs of Ocean Beach. Most importantly, he knew that a flourishing city needed a great research library, and so he began to assemble exactly that. By 1878, the San Francisco-based cultural critic Flora Haynes Apponyi, author of The Libraries of California, published that year, was able to describe numerous distinguished private collections throughout the state. So too was California emerging in these years as a center of printing and publishing, as such bookseller publishers as Hubert Howe Bancroft and Anton Roman began publishing books of extraordinary beauty. One San Francisco printer, in fact, Edward Bosky, achieved international recognition when one of his volumes, Grapes and Grapevines of California, was judged the most beautiful book published that year by a Parisian panel. Yes, California had become a world of books, a world of people reading books, writing books, collecting books. And in the case of the great bibliographer Robert Ernest Cowan, first librarian of the William Andrews Clark Library, people keeping track of books, as Cowan did in this monumental bibliography of California, appearing in 1914, and summarizing the rich bibliographic history of California in the 19th and early 20th centuries. Now, also in the 1870s, the public library movement came to California in a major way, with the establishment in 1876 of the public libraries of San Francisco and Los Angeles. Now, these two leading California cities recognized that the quality of urban life was connected with the flourishing of a local free public library, supported by taxpayers, open to all citizens on a regular basis. What a great and noble idea, an idea that today has resulted in a library network extending throughout the state from Del Norte to Imperial counties, from Modoc to San Diego, in large cities and in small. But first, it was necessary to spread the idea and the reality of the public library movement throughout the state. The concept had to be made to work, and it was made to work, by such pioneering figures as Tessa Kelso of the Los Angeles Public Library and Ina Kulbreth of the Oakland Public Library, who was especially interested in book service for the young, as two of her patrons, young Jack London and young Isadora Duncan, found out to their reading satisfaction. Libraries could be fun as Woodward's Gardens in San Francisco, as fun as Sutro Baths. In Los Angeles, a brilliant historian, bookman, scholar, and poet, Charles Fletcher Loomis, served dramatically as city librarian of Los Angeles from 1905 to 1910. Loomis believed that books should be used, should be circulated, should be read and reread. Later, one of the great library executives in the history of this state, Althea Warren, would take the Los Angeles Public Library through terrible years of the Depression and keep the doors open. She knew that when times got tough, libraries count even more. And so children were brought into public libraries, children of every sort, the children of California, and school libraries were formed, and the children read, and they grew into adults who read. And in this reading and in this growing to adulthood, a new generation of Californians came into stewardship of the Golden State, a generation which had known the joys of reading and libraries throughout their lives. Steel man Andrew Carnegie knew this. An immigrant from Scotland, he'd been forced to interrupt his education and go to work to support his family. He never forgot how much libraries meant to him, and in later life, he poured unprecedented funds into helping communities throughout the United States achieve a local public library. In California, Carnegie grants made possible libraries throughout the state, in Lompoc, in Merced, in San Anselmo, and in Oakland. In Sacramento, Ukiah, San Diego, wherever Californians wanted a library as a way of saying, we are here, this is our town, our city, our community, we care, we read, we dream. But it was not only residents of developed cities and towns who were dreaming of having libraries of their own. Thanks in significant part to state librarian James Gillis, a county library law was passed in 1909, revised in 1911, which had as its goal bringing library services to every resident of the state. Pioneer County Library organizers Mary Dexter Henshaw and Harriet Eddy joined others in bringing library service to the remote and undeveloped regions of California. No matter how remote, whether those books had to be brought to patrons by horse, by mule, by buggy, or by sleigh, a great idea had taken hold in California. As far as library service was concerned, all Californians, whether living in the mountains or in the desert, were equal and were entitled to equal library service.
You have been listening to California State Librarian Greg Lucas read part two of an address given by Dr. Kevin Starr at the California Millennium Conference on November 11, 2000. This is a podcast of the California State Library.